Close to 100 people, including staff and media, were in the temporary council chambers at the start of this morning's 9:30 meeting. The city council has been meeting at the city's Development Services Center near the PSU campus, while City Hall is being renovated to accommodate the much larger new council. Commissioner Carmen Rubio was the only absence, though even she attended virtually for the first item on the agenda, which was also why the majority of the crowd had showed up, to celebrate and memorialize the life of longtime Portland conservation and wildlife advocate Bob Salinger. Salinger passed away suddenly on October 30th at the age of 57. He was currently the executive director of Willamette Riverkeeper and conservation director at the Bird Alliance of Oregon, and frequently met, collaborated, and argued with city staff, several of whom offered remembrances of Salinger today.
I'm Donnie Chiama, the director of the City of Portland's Bureau of Environmental Services. I had the great pleasure to know Bob for several decades, and I could always count on him to tell me what he really thought. And I also always knew where his tender heart was. His ideas, input, and partnership with environmental services didn't just lead to projects. It helped build a culture of conservation and a broader understanding of why conservation is important. A cornerstone of his legacy was his ability to connect with people. While we've lost a part of ourselves with his passing, please know that his spirit and legacy will live on in our work, and he will always be a part of our community and the environment he worked so tirelessly to protect.
Mayor Ted Wheeler read an official remembrance of Bob Salinger, and a short recess followed. Incidentally, KBOO's Locus Focus also has a Remembering Bob Salinger episode that came out this week. The meeting continued with a significantly smaller crowd. The communications segment at the beginning, when members of the public can read prepared statements on any topic, was dominated by a group of neighbors from the Northwest Stadium neighborhood who talked about open drug use and drug dealing they have observed in their neighborhood, as well as a harm reduction group that distributes supplies in the area and other mutual aid initiatives. This was met with unanimous sympathy from city council members, including Mayor Wheeler, who outlined recent changes in city policy in that area, including increased police presence in response to open use and increased cleanup services. Commissioner Renee Gonzalez also made a point of saying that the city has a, quote, entrenched enablement culture, which was met with nods from the other councilors. The longest item on the agenda was the approval of the North Portland in Motion Plan, a non-binding but well-supported plan to bolster pedestrian, bicycle, and transit needs in North Portland. The plan is based on 3 years of city outreach and planning with residents and organizations in the area, and includes designating new greenways and bike routes, including a revamp of the crossing over I-5 at North Ainsworth. Here is Nick Coda with the Overlook Neighborhood Association.
Ainsworth's wide hot pavement and wide overpass over I-5 is abused every day by dangerous drivers who'd rather drive quickly and dangerously through North Portland, even past Oakley Green, middle school students, and beach students who have no other street to cross I-5. The project now proposes new crosswalks for students, improved lighting for long winter nights, bike lanes to separate folks on bikes where needed. It also extends North Portland's all-too-small tree canopy. Without any investment, Ainsworth acts as a barrier for our communities instead of a connector.
The plan passed with a 4-0 council vote. The meeting proceeded with some more technical agenda items, including approval of some amendments to the Montgomery Park area plan, which could see expanded streetcar service into deeper northwest Portland. The main vote on that plan will be held next week. The meeting's most dramatic moment was a vote on whether to allow the city attorney to file an unfair labor practice complaint against AFSCME Local 189, which represents many city workers. This would be for holding two of what the union called practice pickets, despite its contract with the city forbidding strikes or pickets by the union or lockouts by management. AFSCME held these events on October 9th outside the Portland Water Bureau and November 4th outside the Justice Center. It's not clear if they were on city property, and AFSCME maintains that they did not block or discourage people from entering the buildings. After each instance, the city filed a grievance with AFSCME alleging that the pickets breached their contract. Grievances are lesser complaints compared to unfair labor practice complaints, or ULPs, which involve the state's Labor Relations Board. The city and AFSCME have been in negotiations over their labor contract for 6 months, with little progress made. The current contract expires at the end of the year, including its prohibitions on strikes and lockouts. The city and the union have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow in order to hash out the grievances, and Deputy City Attorney Heidi Brown made clear she was only asking for permission to file a ULP if an understanding cannot be reached behind closed doors tomorrow. The city would have 180 days from the first incident on October 9th to file the ULP. Here is Heidi Brown talking with Mayor Wheeler.
Is there anything else in this contract that I missed that references a practice picket? Because I could not find it.
No, there's nothing else that references a practice picket, and the language that you read is the language that we're concerned about. They've agreed not to picket, whether you call it a practice or not a practice, you're picketing, just like a strike is a strike, whether you're calling it a practice or not.
So you tried to resolve this amicably, Tracy, as far as I can tell, and I don't believe I'm sharing any secrets here when I say, and it was the desire of this council to find an amicable way to resolve this.
That's
so
correct.
It was announced. You said that a practice picket isn't a thing per the contract we all assigned. They went forward with the practice picket, and then they announced they might do it again. And you sent them a letter saying we felt it was in violation.
That's correct.
And that if it was done again, we would be filing a grievance and potentially this unfair labor practice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then they did it anyway.
That
so my question will be, why would you do that?
AFSCME chapter president Rob Martineau was present also and briefly spoke after being invited up by Commissioner Mingus Mapps.
While I may disagree with your assessment and the reading of this contract, I don't know that this is the place to do that appropriately. It is not common for us to file grievances and unfair labor practices simultaneously. In the efforts to resolve things at the lowest possible level, we will let a grievance process play out and then move forward with an unfair labor practice if that is appropriate. There's no need for this to happen again. There's 6 months from that October date in order to do this. This is something that the next council could certainly take up. This is something you could take up at a later date. But I think that it would, an authorization like this, I think could potentially interfere with the resolution through a grievance process.
Okay, thank you.
As the council prepared to vote on the authorization, around 25 AFSCME members in the crowd stood up in silence, accounting for a majority of the crowd. The authorization passed, with only Commissioner Dan Ryan voting no. Notably, he is the only member of the current commission who will be a member of the new commission after January 2nd. For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman.